Okay, daf you give a little aleph. Adam sh'amal l'chaveroi. Shmolichay v'tzeg. This is really a sugi. It's a sugi. We're talking about metzia. Let's see. Chaver shasak. B'machan Ephraim kasav shagruvim shevi kli b'beitzer shal shimon v'amar loy shmoli kli zeh.
You bring a utensil to your friend's house and you say, can you do me a favor, can you please watch this on my behalf? And you leave it on the table and you run out. And the other person is quiet. And he does not, the guardian, the person who you're forcing to be the guardian does not respond. Do we say, shtika kahoida? Yesh lehistapek in kevan sheshima in shosak? If you're silent, does your sign indicate that you are accepting responsibility? This is the shayla of the Machane Ephraim. Beshut shayla meshiv. Okay, I have over here the shayla meshiv, a little bio on him. Heyer shezu gumar mifudesh. Besugin shayimel isha. Kansi sela zebibi kadoin. A man says to a woman, I want you to guard this money as a pikadoin, the loy omar lo shemevi lo zos l'shem shmir el l'shem pikadoin. And he did not say to her, that she should guard this only for a pikadoin. The afal pichein machavitz yishaver harei chayeves. So it says in the Gemara that she is chayev. The cost of levar should be ms ene chayeves beze elo kavonas hagemara sheisha suvur beoifen kze she chayeves. So the Gemara seems to indicate that she's chayiv. So he said it's not necessarily right, because the only reason why in this case was going in the case where the circumstance was such where the woman assumed that she's going to be chayiv. A man gives a person to watch, and you don't say anything. Does your silence indicate that you're willing to accept responsibility? From the Gemara, it's mashma. It's a ferish Gemara. A man gives a woman something there as a bikadon. The case the Gemara is really going this little bit more is where later on he says, I want you now to be married to me with this bikadon. So the question is it a good kiddushin? But in the meantime, and before the man gets around to saying this to her, the object gets damaged, the Gemara says that she is responsible for damages. So you see here, Gzunta, you see here, Derech Agav, the Machane Ephraim says, that you see here, Derech Agav, that the person can accept responsibility with a just shtika. Okay, and I tried to decide something, so this is very short, who is the Shoyle Meshif? It's really not a good example, but we don't have really more substantial halacha. Okay, so he was an amazing person. Rav Shaul Meshev was an amazing person. Let's see over here. Rav Yosef Shaul Netanzen. They spell it with a TH in English. I always see TH. Nathanson. In Lashon Kodesh. How do they pronounce it? How was his name pronounced? Nathanson? Natanzon.
You would know that.
You say Natan.
TH sound.
Okay, so he lived also a little bit more than four. He lived a little bit more than a hundred.
1808 to 1875.
Okay, so about 150 years ago.
He was in Lvov, Lemberg.
Let's see, Nilkach Meitano. So this is the Hespet. He did not have children. If I'm not mistaken, he did not have children. Correct? I think he mentions that. He did not have children. So here is a Hespet that has been written by someone. Nilkach Meitano, Goin Hagoinim, Nezer Yisrael Vehadorai. Asher Elof Haritzu Kol Gedolitz Manenu. They had respect. They Haritzu means they elevated him.
They asked.
Haritzu means an expression of they
extolled
him. Great respect. Kol Gedolei Zmanenu She'aloi Sehem Bidavar Hakosha. In regard all of the most difficult matters, he was the first addressed to send the most difficult shaylas. V'hoyo Rabon Shel Kol Yisrael. V'hoyo Kodosh Mirechem. He was holy from the beginning. V'niskadol B'kedusha Ala Torah V'yavoydus Hashem. V'zel Lefnei Ke'arboim Shana Shivlik Agoin Rabon Shel Yisrael. Mareinu, this was before, 40 years before Shivlik Agoin Rabon Shel Yisrael. Mareinu,
My Richa,
my father will chasam sefer. Is that Sal? B'shvacha. That's even before the chasam sefer already praised me. It was already a going 40 years before my father. Well, this is the chasam sefer writing this. We'll see in a moment. The son in law who was the chasam sefer. And he's referring to his father-in-law, B'shvachav V'kara Ga'oin, he called his father, L'chassam Sefer, did not use the term lightly, Umini Oz V'ata, from then until now, L'posak Pumei Migir, so he was completely, never stopped learning. Okay, so that's a general introduction from the Chassam Sefer, who was the Chassam Sefer, that's the son-in-law, what he wrote about Rav Shol Nitizan, as a hespit for Rav Shol Nitizan, it's an excerpt. Next, Ace. Hayoyis Rabbi Yosef Shol Kibben. When he now, a little more background. When he was 18 years old, Bilvad Chotzias Sifrei Hanoida, his well-known sefer Yam HaTalmud Alba V'Kama B'Yachad and Gisa with his brother-in-law Mordechai Zev Ettinger. With a sefer Tfisu Shut Shehem. His shehem his kosu mudoli hador meran meranan hagoyin of kiva eger hanesivos chasam sefer Reb Mordechai Benat shekosu Benat shekosu aleim behaspolus yoytzah sefer, and they wrote about him praise that is off the charts. Alafim rabim sholchu ilav shelo seim lohayros lochem lehem. Many people, his bittul was shilos atshuvas, people sent questions from all over the world. Umehem gedolim mufusamim buhu hayom harishalim sheikh. Shekinu Aleim, he was from the first people that got this title today that is abused. Rabban Shel Kol B'nei HaGoyla, he was from the first people that received such a title in Klal Yisrael. Kein Nisparsim Gam Kein Kisar Hamaskim, he was the one that would give approval. If a person were to write a sefer, you did not get a haskama from Rav Shol Netizan, then no one would open up your sefer. He was the first address to get a haskama for a sefer. V'roiv svarim lehem asaros sifrei chasidus shenidvesu bezmanenu nisatu behaskamosa. Every old time of svarim, he would chasidus halacha. You needed to get his haskam in order for your sefer to be accepted in Klal Yisrael. The sefer Shem Shimon Muva Ma'isa Noyrosh Hashama Hamachaber Mepi Baal Hamaisa. He from the Ma'is Talmuchacham Goyel Shohaya. What is it? Die in the Maariv setting. The Ir Raisha Shlaglitzia. She siper loy ki beyoyse avrich tzor chorif in Galicia. Raisha. She siper loy. I'll tell you. Someone told me 2 days ago. A Rebbe Shemaisa from the Raisha Rav. I'll tell it to you in a few minutes. She siper loy ki beyoyse avrich tzor chorif. And he was a very young man. Veshar nochoy rogel his gosev harbe im Rebbe Yosef Shol. This Talmud Chacham would have a correspondence in letters between himself and Rav Sholem Eshev. Upamachas, because she calls out lehagoyin Rav Yosef Shol, v'loy heishiv loy, chozar kama loy heishiv loy, chozar kama panav loy nenev, the yaldus hoitzabo, v'heiz panav shesholach loy bull, lohoshiv loy, he sent him a bull, what's a bull, a telegram?
A stamp? He said maybe he didn't have a stamp.
A bull, he said a chutzpah, so he sent him a stamp, okay, he sent him a stamp, a chutzpah, maybe the reason why he did not respond was because he did not have a stamp, so I'm sending you a stamp so you should respond to me. V'loy heishiv loy, hagoin Rabbi Yosef safe v'lo heishiv loy ha v'lo heishiv loy hariz.
He sent him a stamp and he said, if you don't answer me, hariz the gezel b'yadai.
Hariz the gezel b'yadai. Okay. Wow, that's quite a chutzpah to send someone such a message. V'lo heishiv loy hagoyin hariz the gezel b'yadai hagoyin heishiv loy hapam esabol. He returned him the stamp. L'loy oimer udvarim. He did not, no response. Ula mi oisa shocha charav hanal let's call Talmudoy l'gamri v'hoye mistoivet. This person had the chutzpah to send such a message to the Sholem Eshev. He was stricken with a choli that he lost his mind. He forgot all of his learning. He forgot all of his learning. Obviously, it was a chutzpah to talk to the Shalom Ish like this. He forgot his learning. This is something that is the coincidence is too much. That from the time that I sent him this letter and he responded by sending me back the stamp, I forgot all my learning. It must be that some significance. It must be because he was mocked, but that's why this terrible thing happened to me. And he traveled to Lemberg. He traveled to Lemberg. Lekabel Nazifa, Nigadol Hadar, to accept Nazifa, to accept a rebuke from the Gadol Hadar. V'nafal lefanav, and he fell before Mavikish Salicha u'mechila v'agoyin Rav Yosef Shaul heishav lo solachti chidvarecha v'nafal lebeisa u'techi ruchay kimikoydem miyamim yamima v'yilapela, and he immediately was healed. A Rebbe Shemaisa from the Sholem Eishef u'moysef ha'machaber v'koysef al zeh shemat mipi balam ha'isa. I heard this from the person that happened to himself, so you see how serious it is to be mevazet talm chacham, to speak with chutzpah, to send a Rebbe a letter and say, you don't answer me, so here's a stamp. And if you don't want to give me back the stamp, it's gezel in your hands. The popular is the Sefer Shalom Eishef, which is quoted extensively in all of the sermon that we learn here in this kollel. We quote from him very, very often. Everything that every likud sefer will quote from the shut of Shalom Eishef. Al dal chach shochnach usvarav divrei shol kam krichos hagos yad shol al yerdeya v'oid. Another set of sermon on Yerodea. Afal pishlo nimna bein hachasidim. He was not a chassid. He did not wear a strimel, it seems. Avo besvodav.
No, they wore strimel.
He did wear a strimel?
He wasn't the Rebbe.
He wasn't a Rebbe. The Reish Rav also wasn't a chassid. The Reish Rav didn't have a Rebbe. I read a biography on him. Yeah. And in an encyclopedia, he was his own man, it says there. He was his own man. He did not go to Rebbes. He had a Sheikh of the Belz Rebbe. So here also, it seems like in Lemberg, there are people that they dressed. The Reish Rav, he wore a strimel. Yeah. He was strimal, but he did not. It was not cough off. Not cough off. To
wear a hat.
He wore a wagon driver's hat.
No, he didn't.
Oh, but that cap.
Yes.
A cap. The Chofetz Chaim wore a wagon driver's cap
all the time. Even on Shabbat.
A wagon driver.
Yeah.
That hat was like the lowest thing you could wear. He had, the Chofetz Chaim was extremely humble. He wore this type of strange hat. Aval besvodav hamerubim nira hayrichu hagedula l'toras hachasidus. He had a great appreciation for chasidus. Ulegedolei ha'admoidim shebedorei v'shulfan of chutz mimashnim se b'shuvosav shamar b'keshe chozak v'ametz imgedolei hachasidus v'yamav g'on bal divrei chayim misans bal chidushi harim igor zichroini shebiyosi. Mishamis Kodesh Rebbeis Meran Hagoyin Rav Yosef Shalom El Yashif Loi Achas Reisi Eich Rebbe Shloima Karelitz Shoichich Im Hagoyin. He would speak Im Hagoyin Rav Yosef Shalom V'hoyu Divrei Shol U'meishiv B'merkaz Divreim. I took note, the one that's writing this is taking note, that Rav Yashif continuously would speak the words of the Shoyal Lameshev, would discuss the Chidushim of the Shoyal Lameshev, Sheshneim Hoi Bikim Atzum B'divrei HaShoyal Lameshev, both Rav Karelitz and Rav Yashiv were Bikim in the words of the Shoyal Lameshev. He was Nifter. How was the pretty, what's the Rosh Tehra set?
Nifter
Lebeisai Olamai Ben Samach Zayin Shana, 67 years old. Loi Hiniach Acharav Zera Shel Kayama. The Yitzuyon Al Matzei Vasai. I'm sure he was married. What? I'm sure he was married. He did not have Zera Shel Kayama. The Yitzuyon Al Matzei Vasai. Im Arirei. Holach loy hiniach yisroy le'oilolav. He means he did not have any children. Ach sefarav, even though he did not have physical children, sefarav himabanav chachmasai pri mifalav. His svarim live on. His chidushei Torah live on forever. Okay, let's go to the next topic. Next is an interesting topic. Yeah. Oh, the Reish Rav. Someone told this to me 2 days ago. I don't believe the story, but this is what the guy told me. He told me that he's related. He knows the story because he's related to a descendant of someone that came out of this story. The Reish Rav was traveling, I don't know for what purpose. He was traveling to a certain city, and he stayed over in the home of a very big gevir. A very wealthy person put him up as he was traveling through some city. And they told the Reish Rav that they have a son that's a mitzuyon. He's a Talmud Chacham, and he's tall and good looking, has alamailas. And they're desperate to find the proper shidduch for their son. Maybe the Reish Rav, he knows a mishpacha they can be mishadach with. So the Reish Rav was thinking about family. So he says, you know what's a good family for you? And he told me all the names. All of these names have no meaning to me. If you knew who these families were, the story would have a lot more meaning. He says, there's a family, somewhere. I think they're a very good match for you. It's a very good match for your son. I know the families, I know you, I know them. It's matin, it's fitting, it's a very good shidduch. So the father of the boy, the parents, the mother and father says, that's right. This is a very good family. We would very much like to be mishadech with them. So the Reish Rav then went outside, and he was with a shamus, with someone. He says, okay, very good. Now I have to inquire if they have a daughter.
Have to find out if they have a daughter.
And kachava, mazel had it, they did have a daughter. And they were mishadech. And the person that told me this story is a descendant from this shidduch. It's a very shabbos, no?
Yes, so.
There's a picture of Ami magazine.
Yes, I have that picture. That picture of Zalman Sirotskin, of Zalman Sirotskin, the Reish Rav. So that picture, I told you, there's another story. My brother is married to Rav Zalman Sirotskin's granddaughter. Rav Zalman Sirotskin had a son of Baruch Sirotskin, and Rav Baruch Sirotskin, the Rishivan tells, and he has a daughter, and his daughter has a daughter, and my brother married her. So they have in their, we're walking to their home, a very big and large picture. That picture, the two great grandchildren of those two people are married to each other. The story is that Rav Zalman Sirotskin had a daughter. And the Reish Rav had three sons, and Rav Zalman Sirotskin wanted to be mishadech with the Reish Rav, and the Reish Rav said no. So my brother and his wife are proof that you cannot outsmart the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a sense of humor. Maybe these two people in that picture, they one wanted to be mishadech and one did not want to be mishadech. Two generations later on, they got together. So it goes to show you can't outsmart
which
daughter. No, not Yisrael.
Because Yisrael was an Adam.
It's a very big thing. A lot of children. Baruch Sirotskin has a lot of children.
Yeah, but Rav Zalman was Rav Baruch's brother, right?
No, his father.
Who was Rav Baruch's brother who was in the Bali Yeshiva's Magistrate?
From Blazer?
Blazer Sirotskin, okay.
The one in that picture is Rav Zalman Sirotskin, the father of Rav Baruch Sirotskin.
And
Blazer, right. Okay, let's go to the next sugya. Amiras Tehillim Baal Peh. Are you allowed to recite Tehillim Baal Peh? Bishud, because anything that's B'chsav, Tarsha B'chsav, you're not allowed to say Baal Peh. So how are we allowed to daven Baal Peh? So there are many exceptions. Bishud Haradvaz. And the Shud Haradvaz, Nishal Mashav Mesach, was given the Baruch Shabbat Savi Yatar Rishai Lev Baal Peh. We know that you're not a certain Udvall, written in Torah, you're not allowed to say Baal Peh. Ha'im Chavon Arak with Dvarim Shenichtavu B'Torah, Oy Gam Al Nevim Uksuv Shosul Oyman Baal Peh. First question, are you allowed, does this halach apply to Ksuvim? Maybe it only applies to what's written in the Torah itself. And that would be a very great leniency to recite Psukei de Zimra Baal Peh. Most of Psukei de Zimra is Ksuvim and Neviim. Neviim and Ksuvim and Neviim. So therefore there's no problem of saying Psukei de Zimra Baal Peh. So the answer is, the Heishiv. So, the Radvaz answers, Heishiv, Alpi Mashamu Besugin, this is Taf Taf, Ki the Targum of Yosef, like Rav Yosef was a Targum, Targum Shav Yosef, Al Pasik Benach, V'echad mitalmidei harashba kasav she'af she'at she'es ha-targum chiba yonisim en uzil mikol makom avim ha-gemara es ha-targum b'shem of Yosef. Hey, just pointing out something which we once actually discussed about, that even though that sometimes the targum and some of the editions and some of the editions of Nach, it's called Targum Yosef. And if you have an old edition, they have Targum Yosef. What's Targum Yosef? There's only one Targum. There's Targum Yonasan, there's Targum Unkelesan, Chamishe Chomshe Torah, and the Targum on the Vim is Yudo Yonasan Ben Uziel, Yonas Ben Uziel. Now there is a debate when it comes to Divrei Hayamim. We actually had that. There it says Targum, who wrote the Targum on Divrei Hayamim? Is that Yonasan Ben Uziel? Some say no, some say it was Yosef. So some say no. Every time it says Yosef, exactly what the point over here is, it is it's a Yosef in reference to the one who he's an editor or from the Gemara, yeah. Kid the game.
He's saying that it was Rabbi Yosef from the Gemara
who was quoting. Who's a saga? He's coming to that, but first he's explaining what it means over here. Kim targum Rabbi Yosef. So Kim targum Rabbi Yosef. Targum shol Rabbi Yosef. Al pasuk banach. The achad mitalmidei harashba explains. Kotav shav she'es hatargum chibu yonis ben uziel. Mikol makom hevia gemara es hatargum b'shem Rabbi Yosef. Dibnei Rabbi Yosef. The reason why the gemara. When the Gemara says the Targum Rav Yosef, is he on his own saying the Targum? Is he the one that's spontaneously translating the Pasuk into Aramaic? Or is this Rav Yosef quoting the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel? So the one of the Talmidei Harashba explains that Rav Yosef is not on his own translating the Pasuk into Aramaic, but instead he is quoting the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. Shmimnei Rav Yosef ho yirog eloyma es apsukin beloshen Targum kevin shuhu he was blind. Now, being that he's blind, that's why he only was able to say it in Aramaic and not to say it in Lashon Kodesh, because obviously he held that you're not allowed to recite psukim baal peh, even psukim that are from Nevi'im and Ksuvim. When the Gemara quotes the pasuk, when the Gemara quotes from Yosef and Tenshas, in many places he's quoting a pasuk in Nevi'im and Ksuvim. He's not quoting only from Chumash, and yet he's quoting the Targum, and he's not quoting the actual pasuk because he was blind, and someone that's blind is not allowed to recite a pasuk baal peh. Why didn't we just have a dilemma that maybe when it comes to pasuk in the Vim and Ksuvim it's mutter? Honestly, you see from this that it's not. Af pasuk benach also l'omer baal peh. Ulam kasev luchos writes not a raya. She'ef she'shel zenis chavin hachacham ha'hu talmid harashba she'lefish Rav Yosef lo ha'yoch liko b'torah al peh ha'yrogel b'targum afil ben the Vim v'yaf al pi gav it's not necessarily a raya. Since when it came to Chumash, he was so ruggled and only studying the Targum, because that he had no choice. So once he got accustomed to it, so even when it came to Nach, he also followed his minhag and he also recited in the Targum and then now recited the Psukim. So he holds this not. No, they could not do it by heart. Everyone had to have in front of them an actual sefer, a chumash on a parchment. That's all they had in those days, parchment. That's right, when they learned. And everything else was baal peh. The Gemara, the Mishnayos were baal peh, the Gemara was baal peh. Had to be written down on my paper, absolutely. That was the. That, that's.
Learning Gemara, they quoted, they had to go have the scroll for us.
Well, there was no Gemara. At this point in time, there was no Gemara. It was everything was baal peh. The discussion was baal peh. There was a tradition of.
But when they quoted the chumash, they had.
Yes, when they quoted the chumash, they had. And that's why we have. That's one of the reasons why many times in the Gemara, when the Gemara quotes a pasuk, more often than not, it's not a correct. It's not a mistake. There's a mistake, and it's not. You look up the pasuk, but there's missing a word. It's adding a word. It's spelled differently. Whenever the Gemara quotes the pasuk, 95% of the time, it's not the correct pasuk. There's a mistake, so because they do part of the pasuk, since you're technically right. Not allowed to recite the pasuk of the chumash outside of the context of the chumash itself,
they change
a little bit, so it should not be a violation. The kosaf he writes further, avol mikol makom. So the radvaz writes we have no raya from the gemara Rabbi Yosef. However, he writes avol mikol makom hanochin hu dvarim kipshuton. The rule is shekol hadvarim shenidnu likosev mikram dvarim shemiksav. Anything that was given to be written cannot be recited bal pe, even nevim and ksuvim. Afal pi shenemru beruach hakodesh kegoyin haksuvim, oy benevuah kegoyin hanevim, kevon sin shenemru bezeh shnei ta'amim, lama ein ata reshai lama bal pe, since the Gemara gives two reasons why you're not allowed to recite bal pe, yesh hasovim mishum sheyesh bezeh pisuk ta'amim, one of the reasons because you have to know how to break up the pasuk. V'tzaruch loymar mitoich haksav b'chdei ladas hech lifsek ha-mikros. If you can only say the pasuk bal pe, you're not going to know to where to put the comma and where to put the period and where to put the semicolon. You have to know, and therefore when you read it from what's written inside, then you see the entire pasuk in front of you, then you'll be able to know how to break up the pasuk. That's reason number one. Oy kumo shekosav haran yishum shudvam shebuchsav yesh limudim udrashos rabos hanudrashos mitoich haksav kigoyin chaseros v'yiseros. There are missing letters, there are added letters, there are big letters, there are small letters, and when you say it bal peh, you don't know if there is an extra vav, if there is a missing vav, is an extra, there's a missing good, if it's spelled in an unusual way or not. So therefore, the only way you can pick up on all of the nuances, the details, only when you see it inside. Therefore, this halach applies to the vim and ksuvim, that lamdis of the pisuk atamim, to know where to break up the pasuk and to know how to darshan all of the details, the nuances, can only be fulfilled when it's ksav, and that applies equally to the vim and ksuvim.
Makes no difference.
Therefore, now that the Radvas has concluded that you must read Nevi'im and Ksuvim in certainly Chumash Shom Ksav, what is going on with us?
Which
is Eicha, the Kama Sifrei Hanavua, the Haftaros, the Lohaya Adam Shecholak Bazeh. How could be that we very often recite psukim from the Nevi'im and Ksuvim Baal Peh, and no one protests, no one makes a big deal about this? V'chosat Shema Shesamchu Bazeh Al HaYerushalmi Shema Samchu B'zeh Al HaYerushalmi. We rely upon the Yerushalmi. Shemavur Shaloi Omim Iyat HaRashay La'omim Balpeh El B'dvarim Shebechoiva. It only applies when you're being Yoytzei a mitzvah. Famous answer. When someone is being Yoytzei Yidei Chayvasai Kriyas HaTorah Mikra Megillah Laning of the Haftorah. When someone is coming to be Yoytzei your obligation, then we apply the principle you have to say it from the one that's reading it to be Yoytzei. Someone else must read it from a text. Aval kriya shel rishus. But if you're not being moitzi, it's someone's obligation. It's just your darshan and you're quoting the pasuk bal peh. That is permitted. Mutter. The haftorah. What about the haftorah? Aval gav shegvar nohagu ba. The hareze kedavah shebechayva. What about now? I think what he's referring to over here is. What is referring to over here is among Minik Sfart. Minik Sfart is that everyone says the Haftorah by themselves. And it seems that it used to be people knew the Haftorah so well, they would say it by heart. Can you imagine? You know the Haftorah inside out. The Kavos Haftorah, what's the Haftorah? Parshas Achrimos? Anyone know what the Haftorah is, Parshas Achrimos? You just say it by heart. Everyone in the whole shul would say it by heart. But isn't that a davar shebechayva? So how could it be that people, doesn't that violate the rule that we've just laid out? Yesh bezeh tam acher lahatil bal peh. There's another reason why you can say bal peh. That's mishum shezeh me'ein hatzfila. Because there's another exception. When something is part of davening, kigmo and kumo, for example, parashah karbonos, v'kakama psukim shel Torah, she'anu karbon bo'isam bal peh. That's another time. That when you're saying the psukim v'derech tzfila, that is another exception to the rule. So the haftorah has the status of tefillah. The oitam kasav shadavka b'torah omru shema yomer choser mishem. But there's another reason when it comes to the Torah, you may leave out Hashem's name. Or what does that mean? The oitam kasav shadavka b'torah omru shema yomru. Chosar Misham. You may say that something is missing there. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure what that means. Let's see further. This is Shulchan Aruch. Kol davar shorogil v'shogar b'fi akol kon kriyashma u'birchas kohanim u'parash satamid u'choyitz b'hamutus. So he gives a new reason. It's a new reason that anything that you're a shogar, that are fluent, if you're fluent in the pasuk, it's mutar. Achma mishnebura hevi b'shem ogin avram shakasu shema'ayin b'beit seitz of yirash yish deus shonos b'tam ha'heter amiras elu hadron balpeh v'lechen yesh li zoher shaloi loimar shum davar balpeh ki imash nizkar b'shulchan aruch. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says you should not take this lightly. And only things that you can say about Peh, only things that are explicitly mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, which include Kriyashma, Korbanos, and Birchas Kohanim. Those are the only things that you can say about Peh. Ulam. Tell him, he says no. He seems to be machmir the Mishnah Berurah. Ulam hevi shebeshuvas chavis yoyer, matur lema kol sefer Tehillim, he says. The Mishnah Berurah then goes on to say that Tehillim is the exception. Kevon sin shenem kishu nemar leoirer rachamei Hashem. Harei ze kitfila. An entire sefer Tehillim is in a different league. It's in the league of tefillah. And tefillah were much more lenient. Ula halacha yesh tusmich Allah b'tzeref tas halavush v'hagra ke'apoyskim shadavka lohitzi rabim yidei chayvasim osa. So by one of his, you have Yisoid, Devar Mishab Alpeh, Iyatar Rishai l'Omer Malpeh. First we have a dilemma. Maybe this only applies to Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Maybe it does not apply to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. The Radvaz seems to categorically reject this difference. There's no difference between the two, because the Ikar two reasons are you have to know the Pisuk Ta'anim, and you have to know all the Joshos, the Chaseros, the Yeseros, the Krivachsev, and the Chulu. Halacha l'maisa u'mekel, the Ikar Tam is because only things that you mean said to be Yoitzei Acherim Yidei Choyvosan, like Kriyas HaTorah and like Mikra Megillah, something that's Midin Talmud Torah. But when you're not being Moitzi Acherim Yidei Chayvasan, you're doing it for yourself, or you're doing it Dvar Rishus, it's Mutter. The other time is, if it's fluent, Mutter. A third time, when it's Koyach Av Tzvila, it's Mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah says, you can be Nagel, only things that are explicitly mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Other things, you should Lechatila should be Machmir, with the exception of Tehillim, which is certainly in the category of Tzvila. Okay, next Halacha. Is that so? That's what he comes to point out. That Haftarah is somewhere in the middle. The Haftarah, on the one hand, is a chiyuv. Originally, right, but not anymore. See, the Haftarah is a very complex thing. What exactly is the status of the Haftarah? It was used to be exactly a substitute for the Kriyas Haftarah, and that's why we lay in 21 psukim, 7 times 3, because there are 7 aliyahs, for each aliyah there are 3 psukim, so the Haftarah must have a minimum of 21 psukim, unless the Haftarah is a davar sholem by in and of itself. So you have to have your correct. But after the Gezerah, it appears from what I've read, that after the Gezerah was removed, and Klal Yisrael were once again permitted to have Kriyas HaTorah, it was not an issue, they were makabel upon themselves to lay in the Haftarah as a separate obligation. It was a new Kabbalah. It was a new acceptance that they'll lay in the Haftarah every Shabbos as a chiyuv. It's a minig, but it's a minig with a Kabbalah, with an acceptance of the tzibur, of the entire Klal Yisrael. So it's a serious event. It's very serious. And therefore you have to lay in the right Haftarah. If you lay in the wrong Haftarah, you have a whole shiloh, you have to repeat the Haftarah. And it has an entire Shulchan Aruch, all the laws of the Haftarah. In many shuls today, those that could afford, they have klaf. Because if you have the Haftarah, written on a paper, on a sefer, it's not really so simple. Some say you have to have at least 10 people. You have to have at least 10 people in the shul laning the Haftarah at the same time, along with the koire. Yeah, okay, not every shul does that. Okay, but in a chanami.
But it's not reading from a cloth that is just an element.
No, halacha lemaisa with mekel. Halacha lemaisa, the minog is not as strong as Kriyas HaTorah. It's a lightweight minog, and therefore the minog Yisrael is, in a minog Ashkenaz, is one person lays the Haftarah, and everyone listens, and they yotzei the reading of the Haftarah from the one that's laying from a chumash. a Chumash, some want to use a Tanakh. We once had this inside. Machlokes the Chazonish. The Chazonish is Mekel. The Chazonish is of the opinion that Tanakh is of absolutely no benefit. If you're not going to learn the Haftarah from a cloth, there's no need to go crazy and take out a Tanakh. Have a Tanakh and learn from the Tanakh. You can learn from the back of a Chumash. It's just as good. The Minhag Olam today has become, the trend has become today to use a special Haftarah book. A special Haftarah book, meaning a Tanakh. The old Haftarah book is different. The old Haftarah book was just the Haftaras. Today they have a new Haftarah book, which is very popular in all the shuls, is where it's an entire Tanakh. It's entire Tanakh. But the only parts that are in big, big letters are the parts of the Tanakh that are the weekly Haftaras. And whatever is not part of the Haftarah, they just have in teeny little prints.
I told you, I think we found it out.
It's a safe Torah. It's written like on the cloth and parchment. Only on the Haftarah. So we once discussed that. We once discussed that. Yeah.
Some say you're not allowed to do with it.
Okay.
I think I asked this question. Is it an order of the Tanakh or is it an order of the...
No, the Tanakh. What's very popular today...
It's an index.
On the first page, it tells you what page it's on. Haftar Parash Achimos, it tells you what page. What? No, it's not a scroll. It's a Chumash. It's a Chumash. What, a special cloth? A special... No, so the shoes they have a whole set. They have a Sefer Yeshayah, Sefer Yecheskel, Sefer Yirmiyah. It costs double the Sefer Torah. A Sefer Torah has approximately 200 columns. To hire a Sefer to write you an entire set of Nevi'im is about 400 columns. A shul that wants to purchase a set of Nach has to pay double what it costs to buy a Sefer Torah, typically. It's very expensive. Yeah, a good that's they are cheaper. They're, I mean, you can go buy a Sefer Torah for $25,000. So you can, you know, the high end Seferim are not writing Nevi'im. The high end Seferim, they're writing Sefer Torah. But I've seen some outstanding. I mean, I know around the corner from where I daven, they just bought another addition to their set. It's outstanding. It's nicer than the Sefer Torah. Some of the Sefer Torah, the ksav on the.
My son is buying it.
A whole set of Nach.
Slowly. So, but, yeah, about 5 or 6.
Okay.
With Kare Ochsif.
What?
Kare Ochsif.
Kri Ochsif, yeah.
How do they put it in the...
What do you mean?
This...
They only write the ksiv. The Baal Kriya has to know. The Baal Kriya has to prepare, just like in a Chumash. Just like when you lane from a Chumash, you have to know how to lane correctly. You have to know how to lane it correctly. Interesting. I know someone who teaches Bar Mitzvah boys. He told me that the Bar Mitzvah boys, they when they lane and the Bar Mitzvah, so to referring to those who do both the Parsha and the Haftarah. So it's very rare that a Bar Mitzvah boy that at least he teaches does a perfect job. They make one mistake, two mistakes, depending on the Bar Mitzvah boy, they make a couple mistakes. But all the Bar Mitzvah boys that he teaches the Haftarah to, they don't make even one mistake. He's always amazed. Why is it that the Haftarah they get perfect? And some of the Haftarahs are very hard. Yeah.
How they teach him from the
cloth?
Cloth.
No, cloth.
Oh, cloth.
Some of the boys that he teaches, they lane, and some of the shuls they lane the haftarah also from a cloth. So the cloth, the haftarah, perfect. All the Rambam's boys that he's taught the haftarah to, they didn't make one mistake when they lane the haftarah, but when they lane the parsha, they made a mistake, one or two mistakes here and there. So why is that? So he thinks because the Haftarah, there's no repetition in the Haftarah. The most difficult part about learning the parasha is you have a series of words, expressions, which are identical in the parasha. The more experience you have of being a Baal Kor, the harder it gets, because you only have the whole Torah in front of you in your mind. So you have this expression that appears in five places in Chamish Chumshei Torah, so you get confused. When I learned it 3 weeks ago, I learned it with this trap. And once you get off track, once your mind starts playing games with you, then you get lost very quickly. In the Haftarah, there's almost no repetition. Every single pasuk in the Haftarah, kemat, is unique. So there's no playing games. The Haftarahs, the Nevi'im, were not able to play games with your mind. It's a very interesting observation. It's in one respect, it's easier to learn the Haftarah because you're not going to get confused with a repetition of trop and similar expressions found in other sections of the Haftarah and other sections of Tanakh. You learn it, you know it. these expressions appear once, and they only appear once, and that's it. And once you get into the rhythm, you get into the groove, you're set to go. Okay, let's go to the next topic. What exactly does this mean? Let's see. Let's go and jump into the question. He has a friend, and the friend owes him a lot of money. And because there are many people that are many creditors that are coming to attack him, he's not going to pay back his loan. The he wants to imprison him. He wants to take him and force him into a jail.
Debtor's prison.
So I mean, today you have to go to the police to do such a thing. Okay, but let's.
In the '50s, I think they had in New York.
Yeah, such a thing. A person owes you money, and you put him in prison until he will pay you. Because if you let him loose, he'll all his money will be paid to other people, and not you. You'll never get your money. The Hashem, he writes. Let's see the lum. This what he writes over. I don't think it's too much nagi halacha lemaisiv ban. It's such a thing, but at least let's see what the lum this is. The Hashem shekol sheyedu l'rab she'en koyach biyad halev l'shalim oy shehuchsak she'isach ish maso matano haya be'emuna be'emuna loyv u'mashalim. If you know for a fact the person is an honest man, the article I mean, now he says she'en loy ma seges lefroya chayvay. So then he says at this point in time he does not have the ability to pay back his loans. Also vade lakofa soy b'shul mina kefiya. If the person is an honest man, he's not a crook, he's not a swindler, and he just fell in bad times. He fell to bad times. And just at this moment in time, he does not have the ability to pay you back. You have no right to take the law into your own hands and to force him to pay the money. When we call Shekane Lasar, so it goes without saying Lasar so be Mishmar, you cannot put him in a prison. Shudova Shane Bukoyach Bezdin Lasis Kane, Allah Haskan Vakama Shane Zois Bukoyach Shalmalva. If the Bezdin does not have the power to take a person and put him in prison for not paying back a loan, an honest man, not dealing again with a person who's a danger to society, or you want to punish a person for a criminal activity, there's no criminal activity over here. He's an honest man. The bank approved the mortgage. The bank said you have a job. There's a very reasonable expectation that he'll pay back the money. So there's no reason. That's why they extended him credit. And then he lost his job unexpectedly, not to any fault of his own. And he's having a hard time finding a job. So should we put him in prison for not paying back the loan? Absolutely not. Bezdin has no power to do this. Allah has come to come, no person has the right to take the law into his own hands and to force him to punish him in any such way. Next. Now, it goes further. If you're going to do this, if a person does do so, we'll punish him. If a person does take the law into his own hands and takes a person and puts him in prison, then the Bezdin Adrab should punish him. Should punish the person that went and did such a terrible thing. The law of the person is simple. This is a halach, open halach in Shulchan Aruch. If you don't have money to pay, you swear in court that you owe the money, and when times change and when you get a job and things are a little bit better, you'll pay back your debt.
I don't want to put someone else in jail. He has to go through
it. As I told you, this is not halacha lemaiz. This is some ancient thing, ancient times when people took the law into their own hands. The Wild West. Okay, this is the Wild West.
Like that, put him in jail.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what I told you. It's not in the halacha lemaiz. We're learning the longest. The Zenith that we call Dine Adam. We're Dine Shemaim, Dine Shalab Al Chayim, Mosrim, Chasham, Nishval, Sheker, Kamoyesh, Kosov, Hanistar, Shem Lokenu. If the person swears falsely, that's between him and HaKadosh Baruch. Okay. Aval, Lakov. Now here he goes over here. Aval, Lakov, Osai, Debali, Mishpat, Afil, Ala Hagzim, Allah, Bedvarim, even to go and terrify him with words, to exaggerate. Ul Aim, Allah, Lassim, Osobes, Asar, Hizor, Hishamer, Shamur, Navshom, oh. In other words, let's say a person does indeed owe you money, and you want to threaten him. He's a good man, he owes you money, and he lost his job. So you say, if you don't give me the money, I'm going to go to the police. I'm going to go to the police and I'll make a claim that it's criminal activity. There was criminal neglect. and by not paying me, and the lawyers they'll arrest you. So are you allowed to do this? Are you allowed to do to steer tax? Shaloi zubul vashat over a loan. So this is 100% usur. The person can't pay the loan at no fault of his own. You're not allowed to scare him. Ella, not only are you doing an avera, Ella shata roitfai umagara boyes hardoivim. You're terrifying him. You bring upon him lions, sh'or bali,
bears.
Yeah. Sh'or bali chayva shahayu lo mibnei oisam sh'einam mibnei bali bris sh'yir defu kifi min hagam lahanichay shanim u'shmitim toich beis hamishma belech and tzar mayim lachatz. He'll be in prison without any food and any water. The yimkru kol ha'shalo, they'll sell all of his assets. U'mi yodea im yagia l'chelkecha pachos mishasus, who knows if, I don't know what this means, if he'll get even a sixth of what it's really worth. He'll cause there to be, once a person,
you know, who knows what he'll get.
People will think that he's desperate. If you'll go, you'll make him, you'll put him into a desperate matzav. Who knows what kind of harm you'll cause him. L'chein yatzcha, I give you advice. Sh'yoseh tov l'chol adabri mo panim al panim l'spasha imo al tzad yoseh tov. The best thing is to go and make some type of private arrangement. He kol ma'asher dekabel yerevach etzlich. Whatever you'll accept will be a true benefit. Milvad ki im asher shetavsed imo l'tztaka techashav lo. Whatever you lose, consider it to be a write-off to charity. You don't know what's going to be tomorrow. You never know, his fortune will turn around. He'll have what to pay you back later on. We all know this happens. It's a gilgul ha'cheze ba'olam. The Gemara talks about selling a person as an eved ivri. If a person borrows money, does not have what to pay back, so the halacha is he is sold as a Jewish slave for 6 years. Ulam, im hakesav egia liyodai b'ofen heter, goyim shalova mechaveru ayuchayes in l'shalim. Now, the only time it says in the Gemara that a person is sold as a Jewish slave is only when he owes money because of illegal activity. He is a ganaf. He did something illegal. He did an avera. But if a person, the reason why he owes money is because he borrowed money beheter. He borrowed money in a legitimate way, and then he fell upon hard times, then the halach is you're not allowed to sell him as an eved ivri. Goes without saying. The person has the money, he's a ganef. You have the money in the bank, you don't want to give back the money, you're a ganef, of course you can punish him. He talks about an ancient, this existed years ago. People were put into prison. In Prague, it was the custom, if you owe someone money and you don't pay, the person is put in prison. I don't know how it worked.
We're talking of in Prague, who would enforce?
It seems private individuals. There was a private collection agency. Private collection agencies had the power. Private collection agencies were licensed to have their own prisons. That's what it seems to say. Today it's unheard of. Today you go to prison if you do something like that. All of the elder rabbanim. So he says in Prague this was business as usual. Someone owes money, you borrow money, you don't pay back. Private collection agency puts you in jail and all the rabbanim are quiet. He says this appears to be shleik halacha. You're allowed to do this. If they did this, if this was the accepted custom, so it's minig yishol. It was done. It was legitimate. Ach see, because of amnam mori hagoin betumim heisik shem ein loy l'shalim ein lohem mashi yismachu. You don't do this. Loyraim shuchnarch shakasav shafilu im hisne haloy v'alatzmo sheyi. Okay, even if you make a tnai Let's say you borrow money and you make a tanai. If I don't pay you back, I give you permission to imprison me. The cost of loy b'shtar, and you write this in a document, he says it doesn't help. You can't make such conditions. Ein l'moyel. Then he yachol loy l'osher loy l'hishtabit bo uver mo ha'isif the cost of shahayinu dafkin ein loy l'shalim. Avon yesh loy yesh loy v'ein eretz l'sham bezin of course chayim shnoi sov ho yimakin asu ad shetei tzei nafshu v'kovin asu l'sham v'yashayim v'shafilu im ein loy l'shalim in nishin nishma l'yoyitz chobush ad shi shalim tzorach l'chayim shuasa. Okay. Dram shutim, the only thing we're against the yelach l'mayis and zvana zez is true. People tell you they borrow money and you indeed have the power to go to court and cause this person great harm, should you actually do so? So obviously it's a very touchy issue. There's no you can't generalize. If there's criminal activity, that's one thing. Right? That's davar pashadad mode. Okay, a person goes and he lies to you, he gives you false documents and he lies to you, that's one thing. But let's say the person just stopped. The person just does not have the money to pay back. Are you entitled, should you, according to halacha, foreclose on his property? You're entitled, right? A person, you lend money, and the person, he put down his house, he put down this, put down that, and you are within your legal rights to go and seize his assets.
You just rights or civil rights,
should you take advantage? So you see over here a little flavor from this halacha is that if it's no fault to a person himself, so even though technically you have the power to do so, you get a little bit of a flavor that sometimes it's not always the best thing to exercise your halachic rights. He writes, make a pshara with him, try to come to some type of arrangement, private arrangement, and if you have to suffer a loss, so you can consider it tzedakah. The person is a poor person, he fell on hard times, what can you do? Alright, listen, you can't generalize. Every situation obviously is different. And again, of course, if it's criminal activity, that's a whole different ballgame. There's nothing to talk about. Alright, we'll stop here. For a short break, a very short break. Yeah.